She is fascinated by Mozart and the mysteries of the final years of his life, and she imagines what it might have been like to have been inside the church with Constanze as music from her late husband's Requiem is performed. St. Michael's Church was alight with hundreds of candles. We entered into the large chapel after handing our tickets to a man at the door. It was chilled from no central heat. Hopefully it would be warmed from the audience. Many persons were already present, all in heavy cloaks and scarves, some rubbing their hands together. We took seats a few pews back from the elaborate altar at the front. Emanuel Schikaneder and several musicians scurried about, moving the fortepiano and repositioning violinists and the woodwind players. Suddenly, the church bell began tolling, a loud, sonorous clung, 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 which reverberated throughout the chapel. More people entered, and the pews were growing full. The orchestra was beginning to be seated. At the altar, two huge golden candelabras were lined up, so many candles to give the room a brilliant radiance. Two priests in black robes came forward at the altar, carrying large wooden crosses. They went to stand in front of the orchestra. The audience was still coming in, and it was very noisy. A baby cried somewhere in the back pews. I turned around and noticed many people who had come to Mozart's concerts and operas. I pulled my pelisse hood up around my face, not wanting to attract any attention. The violins were tuning up, as were the horns and wind instruments. A large kettle drum was squeezed in the corner, the drummer trying to move around for more space. Now, a choir came out from the side doors on both sides, men and women in black robes, holding music in black folders. When all were settled and quiet reigned, Emanuel Schikaneder came forward. He was dressed elegantly in dramatic menswear. Nearly everyone at the altar was attired in dark colors or all black. It was then that Schikaneder began to speak. Ladies and gentlemen, the music you are about to hear for the very first time is one of the last works of our illustrious friend Mozart. He composed this even as he lay dying. He wrote this throughout his last year, even as he composed two operas and other works. This, however, he called his swan song. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Wolfgang Mozart's greatest work, the Requiem. Now the conductor raised his hands, and the Requiem began. Low, throbbing notes introducing the introitus. The choir joined in, their voices low, then building, a magnificent sound. The soprano soloist, a woman from the Freihaus Theater, sent her glorious, high, full notes out to every crevice in the chapel. Church personnel walked around, extinguishing many candles, so that the chapel now was nearly in shadows, as if a tenebrous fog had descended upon us. I had, of course, heard Mozart singing or humming parts of the Requiem as he worked on it, but could not possibly imagine what impact it would have with an entire orchestra and choir. It was breathtaking. And now the orchestra and choir sank into the inescapably sad Lacrimosa. And finally, the Lux Aeterna. The soprano's voice rose in tender yet powerful tones. It was as if, in Mozart's imagination, he had passed into a place of eternal peace and comfort. Finally, the music came to the last note. It echoed and hovered aloft for several seconds. Then, silence. The audience was stunned, unable to respond after the intensity. Finally, Schikaneder arose and walked slowly in front of the orchestra. He swept his arm dramatically toward the musicians. And then applause arose, the sound of which I have never heard before at any concert or performance then or since. People arose, clapping as loudly as they could. Now the candlelighters came again in their vestments, lighting the myriad candles so that the church blazed in profuse radiance, and many of the people had tears streaming down their faces. Again, this is a fictional account, and yet many were fortunate enough to have experienced a truly powerful performance of Mozart's Requiem by the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic with the Marywood University Concert Choir and guest soloists all under the direction of Mélisse Brunet in October. Mélisse Brunet led the Requiem at St. Stephen's Episcopal Pro Cathedral in Wilkes-Barre on October 23rd, and again on October 24th at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Scranton. And certainly Mozart's music is strong enough to have an impact on its hearers, no matter the setting in which it's performed. And yet to be enveloped in the music amidst the light of candles illuminating the handsome spaces of the church interiors is something else. And many of those who attended one of those concerts reported having deep, moving experiences. Some even used the word spiritual. Philharmonic music director Mélisse Brunet believes in the power of music to entertain us definitely, but also to touch us in ways that speak to our hearts. The orchestra took a risk in presenting the Requiem concerts in two different locations, with all the logistical challenges and the financial commitment to bring candlelit Mozart 360 degrees to our region. But Mélisse and Chasen Goldschmidt's executive director and the Philharmonic Orchestra board believed in the concept, and the reception on the part of regional audiences was overwhelming. Both performances sold out, and the creative risk bore fruit. At that very same time, the orchestra announced that music director Mélisse Brunet has renewed her contract with the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic through June 2029. And we had a chance to talk with her by phone to explore her musical vision. Concerts like this, concerts where the orchestra provides the soundtrack for films like Jurassic Park and so much more. We've also explored with her why she's chosen to extend her time in northeastern Pennsylvania. But we began with the success of the Mozart Requiem concerts.
Oh, what an amazing feeling, Erica. You know, it just warms everybody's hearts. It was very special, and I think people were very attracted by the new experience of experiencing something very old, actually, you know, a requiem with candlelight, which in that case, that's how it was performed back then, you know, and at a church. And it's just the perfect setting, honestly. It was very powerful. Everybody was really giving their best. A lot of people mentioned like it was a transforming spiritual experience and very magical. So this is really what we aim at bringing to our community.
And you have a sense this time round, this season, that candlelight and different venues are important for the orchestra and bringing the orchestra and the community together in these different ways.
Yes, you know, I had noticed through my different travelings, guest conducting everywhere, that candlelight concerts have a really great reception in the country. And I thought that this opportunity to have candlelight concerts featuring that orchestra is something that would be very well received with the community. And I'm glad it works. You know, it's a lot of logistics for us. But everybody from the staff to the musicians to the audience and the board really enjoyed the experience. So, you know, it's always risky when you get out of the norm or, you know, take some risk simply. You know, you never know. It's a business risk because we need really to pay our musicians and to stay alive in the community. But I would say that it really paid off, and I think it involves very difficult times for everybody, whatever you think. It's difficult times. People really enjoy to have something that is more spiritual, that is more dim, that brings to inwards and to reflection.
And it's wonderful that it was Mozart, and we're talking now about the tremendous news that you will be staying with the orchestra as music director and conductor. You've renewed your contract, and we know from the earliest time, probably the very first interview we did with you, Melis, you told us about how you, as a young musician, were bored by Mozart in a certain sense because the conductor of your school group was not doing justice to Mozart's music. So when you had a chance to step before an ensemble, I got it right, I think, do I? You were able to say, no, there's more here. Tell us that story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you have great memory because it's been a while now that we have had our first interview. And thank you so much for your very kind words for the renewal. That's a great honor for me to be here longer until 2029. But you're absolutely correct. It was playing Mozart symphonies that I suddenly had that flash of, oh, I want to become a conductor because I want to understand what Mozart wanted to share with us, because I truly believe like he did not decide to write boring music. So I need to figure out what he wanted to share with us, the joy of his music and other composers, and then bring it to the musicians, and all together we bring it to the audience. And that's very interesting that we are just doing some Mozart right now.
The timing is just right. As we think about these recent Mozart performances, Melis, there must be challenges as a conductor. You know the standard places where you have been conducting here, the Kirby Center and the Scranton Cultural Center. But inside a church with an orchestra and a chorus and soloists, obviously you have to learn it quickly, the sound, the acoustic, when you're in rehearsal, right?
Yes, yes, you're absolutely right. It is tremendously challenging to go to different halls, and mostly to churches, because they are known to be more resonant. But depending on the architecture, the sound is going to go different ways, depending also where you put the orchestra and the choir and the soloists. The sound is going to vary drastically. And the two churches where we perform, the one in Wilkes-Barre, St. Stephen's, and St. Luke's here in Scranton, are very different. So, for example, in St. Luke's, the choir, it has to stand very deeply within the church. And I think I'm like probably 30 feet away from the last line of singers. So the sound is very different. It means that I need to adapt very quickly. What's difficult is that since I'm conducting and I don't have an assistant conductor, I have had to rely on some recording devices and listen to it. And that has impacted my tempi. Because, you know, some tempi that are too quick for a church are good for another church, etc., etc. So it requires to adapt very quickly.
And it is risky, we know that. But again, it sounds like it has borne fruit for those who were fortunate enough to be in attendance. Chasen told us that there was this exquisite piece that you began with by a composer from Ukraine who lost her life.
Yes, Hanna Avrilets. So she was born in 1958 in Ukraine, and unfortunately she passed very young in 2022, in February of 2022. She had an aneurysm, and because the war, the Russian invasion in Ukraine, made that she could not receive medical care on time. And she passed from her aneurysm and probably would have been, you know, alive and could have received the care she needed if the war had not started 3 days before to that. So it's very, very sad to see that, you know, in 2022 and in 2025, there still are wars where good people die, people who make a difference in society, you know, common citizens. And her piece, Choral, is for string orchestra, and it's a piece of a beauty that is hard to describe. Even the musicians who had never played that piece, they were coming to me afterwards, they were, oh my God, it's so moving to performing, to be within the sound. And I think that's what people felt when we performed that piece. So we performed that piece, and then we have a moment of silence before going into the requiem, and I ask for the audience to not applaud until the end of the performance, because I want for everyone to be able to be with themselves and to feel all the feelings they want to feel, you know, without thinking, oh, I should applaud here, or, you know, that kind of social norms, which I think come in the way of that performance.
And we have a chance to ask you, because you will be staying on. You are committed to bringing new pieces and pieces by composers who are living and breathing. And we will, no doubt, in your continuing term with the orchestra, hear new music and maybe even meet the composers.
Oh, absolutely, yes. We do that. We do that really all the time. And you know, even Hanna Avrilets, she passed not long ago, so I still consider her as a contemporary composer. And this is really something that I want to bring to the audience and to the community, but also bring pieces that they know and they enjoy. You know, I think you need to find a very good mix of things that people know and discoveries that, you know, they will enjoy but they do not know yet. But we'll have a great concert at the end of the season featuring The Planets by Holst and The Moons by Amanda Falkenberg, who is a living composer. And I think that contrast, together with also some John Williams, of course, because it's around the stars, the space, and you cannot have a program like that without some excerpt of Star Wars, of course.
Of course, and that appeals to all of us. When you mention Star Wars, you'll be conducting the orchestra with films this season in December and also later. Do you love doing that kind of conducting when you're going along with a film?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I did my first ones in France. It was some Charlie Chaplin's silent movies. And music by then living composers that was added on that. So I had the click track and had to learn the movie very well and to match with the movie and the music altogether. I really enjoy doing those. People really enjoy going to those concerts because it's a very different experience going to the movie theater or watching a movie at home. But having the orchestra playing live music is just very different and fulfilling. It also brings a lot of resonance and a sense of community. It just works very well, I find.
And how could we beat watching Jurassic Park and having a full orchestra and our bodies reverberating with the orchestral sounds?
My God, yes. And that score is very hard, the score of Jurassic Park. And by the way, you know, John Williams is a living composer. I think he's going to turn 92 early next year in the spring. But it's a very complicated score. And the scores we are doing in December, the Snowman and the Snowman and the Snow Dog, are beautiful movies. I don't know if you have watched them. They are available on YouTube, so people can watch them on YouTube. And they are so beautifully done. They resonate really with kids, but also with adults. And they are full of love and passion and great discoveries as well. And the music is very well done.
When we think about the remarkable work you do with us and that you'll be staying on with the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic, our listeners might not know where else you are, orchestras that you regularly lead and the work you're doing elsewhere in the country. I would think you're always in the air.
Well, generally drive to places, but yes, I will be in New York City to make my debut at Carnegie Hall for an evening of world premieres with the American Composers Orchestra. And there will be five world premieres that are absolutely outstanding. A lot of people of our community are coming for that performance. Plus also, of course, my orchestra that is in Kentucky, the Lexington Philharmonic. But this fall, I will also go to Phoenix, return to Phoenix, Arizona, to do three performances with Rick Steves. Around, his traveling and European music.
We know what a supporter of public radio and television Rick Steves is, so it's wonderful that you do that travelogue. Is he the narrator of those programs?
That's a great program. He will be the narrator. He loves music, classical music, orchestral music. And we will travel through Europe through his narrating and also through some movies and pictures that will be on screen.
It means a lot that you chose to stay in Northeastern Pennsylvania. You could have said, thank you, Northeastern Pennsylvania, I love you, I'm off, and good luck. What are the things about this region that would prompt you to say, this is something I care about, and yes, I would be pleased to be here longer?
Yes, I think what prompts me the most is the incredible levels of talent in the community, in both communities, Scranton and Wilkes-Barre. You have high-level talents in the arts, but also in other fields. And what strikes me is that they are all very humble. There are some areas of the country where talents are going to all move together in geographic zone. And, you know, sometimes it can be snobby and things. But here people are really rooted to just be so easy. And you can be doing music with some geniuses. I'm thinking like Ron Stabinski. Or others, I mean, the Ballet Theater of Scranton, Joanna Arduino, she's a gem. And all of those people work in the community bringing incredible quality that is something that are very seldomly witnessed during all of my travels. And there is also, I love architecture and nature, and this is old Pennsylvania, and I cannot get tired of walking in the streets and looking at those buildings and being absolutely stunned at what I see entering some buildings and so much history in there. And I think people are very rightly proud of their community and, you know, making the best to change their community rather than moving and to make a difference here. And that's for me very rewarding.
Mélisse Brunet, music director and conductor of the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic, speaking with us as the orchestra has proudly announced that Mélisse has extended her contract through June 2029. She spoke with us about the recent performances of Mozart's Requiem at churches in Wilkes-Barre and Scranton and the success of those concerts, and took us through to the Planets in the spring, the final orchestral concert. And we also talked about the fact that the orchestra will perform the soundtrack for Jurassic Park while the movie is screened at the F.M. Kirby Center. That concert in April, and there are many more concert events in between. The next will be Friday, November 21st at 7 in another special environment. It's called Candlelit Brass, and the brass quintet of the Philharmonic will perform at the Luzerne County Courthouse in Wilkes-Barre. It's at 7 in the evening, and they will have a fanfare-filled jazz and classical program from Bach to Gershwin and Bernstein, and it will be there under the historic Luzerne County Courthouse Rotunda. And for more information about that and all that you'd like to know about the Philharmonic, nepaphil.org, nepaphil.org. Certainly, many people are looking forward to the performance on December 6th when the orchestra and the Ballet Theater of Scranton and choral forces will join together for the annual Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic Holiday Concert, again under the direction of Mélisse Brunet. And then later in December, then, there will be a performance by the orchestra accompanying the Enchanted animated films, The Snowman and The Snowman and The Snow Dog. And for more information about the Philharmonic concerts right out through the end of the season, nepaphil.org.